Shabbat Shalom. Welcome back, Boker Tov. And let's talk about a couple of things this morning that have to do with the Torah portion. Torah portion, of course, is called Shoftim, which stands for the word. Probably recognize it. We got a book in the Bible that's named Shoftim. Stands for the word, or it's the translated word from Hebrew that means judges. And wouldn't it be cool if we still had those things? At least as opposed to the kind that wear black robes and preach and decree in the names of other gods, other laws, and for crying out loud, won't even allow the real one in their courtrooms in 90-some-odd percent of the cases. I know there are probably some good judges out there. I'm sure you've heard the old joke, right? It's a real bummer that it's the 97% that gives the good ones a bad name. In any case, what if they threw a civil war or a race war is one of the places I want to head this morning, and nobody came. We'll come back to that theme, because I'm going to suggest to you that this was an interesting week. Let's start with a little bit of history and some of the indications. On Monday, we had, of course, the first coast-to-coast United States total solar eclipse since 1776. Some have suggested, and I ain't going to argue with them, that the United States was born on the cusp of a total solar eclipse, and the good men in those days who watched it and prayed about it and understood it made that observation. Arguably, the question remains, did it die on the total solar eclipse of 2017? Ironically, for those that were paying attention, that was the same day that Donald Trump gave the Afghanistan speech, we'll come back to that, in which basically he said, the hell with all my campaign promises, the hell with everything that requires me to do the right thing here, the hell with Islamic terrorism. You notice he didn't even mention that. The Obamanoids seem to have taken over. And basically, a lot of folks, including a guy that I don't very often agree with, but I thought was right on tap this time, Steve Pachenik. You know, he was associated with Tom Clancy and some of those books that I've already kind of referenced this morning. Steve Pachenik was beside himself. I heard him interviewed on Alex Jones the next day, and he was literally, let's just say, full of colorful aphorisms. Couldn't stop himself from saying potty mouth words describing the sellout of Trump and the fact that he said this is going to be a bloodbath as a result of that evil. We saw this morning that Sebastian Gorka, one of Trump's primary advisors, and I had to look the guy up. I'll admit I'd forgotten. He wasn't, first tier, but evidently he was on. Those that watch network news would have seen him a few times. But he basically said he'd had it, and he was forced to participate in writing that speech, and it was the final straw, the Afghan speech. And he basically said, look, you know, I don't want to be the last one out of the swamp as the crocodiles are taking over. I'm paraphrasing a bit there. But the point is, that all happened on Monday. Monday was the 25th anniversary, too, it was pointed out, of the abomination that marked the descent of the United States into a total tyrannical police state where snipers have more influence on public policy than elected presidents. I'm talking about a fellow named Lon Horiuchi, William Deegan. If you don't know the story, it goes like this. 25 years ago, Monday into Tuesday, a separatist, and I've met him, and I know Randy Weaver. I won't say that I know him well, but I met him on a number of occasions, interviewed him, and so forth. He had decided he wanted out of the world, and he moved his family to a little place up in Idaho that has kind of since become a name that's associated with the infamy of what happened there. Ruby Ridge, in case you've forgotten, because the media would like you to. And turns out that the whole thing began when on private property there were some federal agents snooping around where they shouldn't have been. One of them was being ratted out by the Weaver's dog. Sammy Weaver, the teenage boy, was there, and he watched his dog get shot by Federal Marshal William Deegan. He began to scream obscenities at the dog killer, whereupon Deegan killed him, shot Sammy in the back. And as you might suspect, that kind of upset his dad, Randy. A multiple-day siege ensued, but never to be to be dismissed for not being able to commit murder when they need to. And by the way, if it sounds like this angers me, still a quarter of a century later, you're right, folks. I have a problem with murder, with manslaughters. And you know what? Turns out that, too, is mentioned in the Torah portion this week. The Avenger of Blood would have been right to blow those killers away. All right? So there was a gun battle that ensued, and William Deegan, was not killed. But Vicki Weaver, Randy's wife, was executed the very next day by this evil, satanic sniper named Lon Horiuchi, FBI agent, paid to do exactly that. He was proud of his shot, I think. Vicki Weaver was standing in the doorway of their mountain cabin holding their 10-month-old infant daughter. So, yes, Vicki was armed with a baby. And so they shot her right through the jugular. Oh, good shot, Lon Horiuchi. You executed a woman. And in fact, he was proud. He used to brag that he could hit a quarter at far greater distances than his execution of Vicki Weaver. But that wasn't all. He managed to use the very same bullet to almost kill Kevin Harris, a friend of the family who was standing right behind Vicki. What a great guy. Guess where he is today, folks? After being attempted to be tried for murder by the state of Idaho, he would have been convicted. The feds would not allow it. Charges were dismissed. Randy and his family, the survivors, were eventually awarded damages, a pittance, in other words, by the federal government in order to keep shut up. Lon Horiuchi, the evil sniper, went up to a place called Waco, Texas, where not too long after that, he committed a whole lot more murders. They executed a bunch of people in a church. And Lon Horiuchi was among a number of people, Delta Force, U.S. Special Forces, that were out behind the church where the conveniently mislocated press wasn't able to see the carnage that was going on. They weren't able to see the fact that the children that were executed were done in by a satchel charge. All of this has been revealed by the late Mike McNulty, whom I knew personally for years and years and watched his research. Point is, folks, that was 25 years ago Monday. And the American people, by and large, have still not heard the truth about any of those things. What they have instead is a police state that is run amok. And again, I think the irony of all the things here going on, the fact that we had this eclipse this week, the fact that the annual Torah cycle just seems ever so apropos, the fact that we've seen so many things coming together to indicate that the theme of the Torah portion this week, justice, justice you shall pursue, is about as far from America, post-constitutional, post-biblical, satanically evil pagan land that it is becoming, as it could possibly be. And yeah, I am upset about it. I'm angry about it. I think people ought to be angry about it. Because they're trying still to see if they can't get this civil and race war started. And the good news is there are a lot of people waking up to it. And that is, of course, part of my intention today, to let folks know, do not participate with this evil. We are, in fact, supposed to have judges, real ones, the ones that can read the scripture, that aren't duped, that aren't whores, sellouts, bribe takers. That's right in here too. Don't take a gift. Folks, we got judges that live taking a gift to pervert the law. How many times have you heard a judge say, that Constitution isn't welcome in my courtroom? We saw it this week, the very next day after all of this stuff came down. This is the good news part. I'm doing this out of the order that I planned, but it makes sense. After Randy Weaver's execution and the anniversary thereof, you had a trial. Well, I'll put that in great big quotes, a trial in Las Vegas where a so-called federal jury, that is not to be confused with what the Constitution once talked about, trial by jury. Now, I spent a lot of time talking about this on Wednesday, and some of you know, trial by jury is one of those interesting, quaint little concepts that the Constitution mentions not once but twice and alludes to more than that. Trial by jury is where 12 people, peers of the defendant, in the state and district wherein the crime was alleged to be committed, are selected randomly, no, not voir dired, and chosen for their ignorance of the law. And they're supposed to be able to impartially do what this Torah portion talks about. Judge, not just the facts, by the way, but the law. Nowadays, of course, in the post-constitutional land, and I have been to, most of you have been to, my family has been to, sham jury trials where the judge will require anybody that wants to sit on his jury has got to pledge, make a bogus oath before God that I will judge the facts only. And yes, Mr. Black Robe Priest of another God, the law as you give it to me. Because see, you're not a real judge. You could care less about the Constitution. And I'm supposed to, as a true juror in a trial by jury system, I'm supposed to know that the law says I am to judge the facts and the law, according to my conscience, my understanding. And to make an oath to do otherwise is an abomination. That's all of that, folks, right in the wheelhouse of what we're talking about today. Okay, so on Tuesday, at any rate, there was some kind of good news that came out of Las Vegas, because the federal so-called jury that was handpicked for their ignorance, notice, if any of them had known that they were supposed to judge the facts and the law, if any of them had known that, you know what, there's no such thing as a hung jury. A jury in a trial like this that is unable to provide a guilty verdict because one and only one person is all it takes says, no, I'm not going up, I'm not signing up for that guilty verdict. That's not a hung jury, folks. That's a not guilty verdict. Well, back when we had justice, justice you shall pursue. So the good news is it wasn't a real jury. They were, in fact, voir dired, chosen for ignorance, and in spite of all of that, they still didn't drink the Kool-Aid. Here's the line from the Arizona Central Republic. Jurors dealt government prosecutors a stinging defeat in a case related to the Bundy Ranch when, after 4 days of deliberation, they returned not guilty verdicts on the most serious charges and were deadlocked, hung. In other words, not guilty on all of the others. And of course, if we still had trial by jury, that would be the end of it. The story would say, and everybody went home, even though they had lost a year of their lives and been subjected to a whole bunch of stuff that if we had justice, justice wouldn't have ever happened. So, what's funny is this. I'll read this one line. I'll read several lines, because it turns out this so-called black robe priest of another god, U.S. District Court Judge Gloria Navarro, basically continued to say, nope, no constitution in my courtroom. You don't have First Amendment rights, Fourth Amendment rights. You don't have any rights. One of the defendants in the final day of trial was attempting to tell jurors what he saw during the standoff over a barrage of objections from so-called prosecutors. Navarro continued to rule that Parker, the defendant, violated court orders by discussing prohibited topics, like what he was thinking, his motives, why he was there, stuff that would have once been called, the defendant's prerogative. But that was back when we had justice, justice. Navarro ruled Parker violated court orders. He started crying. Navarro dismissed the jurors, and guess what? They weren't buying it. The defense attorney said jurors told him the next day that the incident was a factor in their verdicts. Quote, that weighed heavily in their decision, said the lawyer Marchese. They wanted to hear the defendant speak. It was very bothersome to them. They felt like they weren't getting the whole story. Gee, do you think? What was your first clue? The jurors knew our hands were tied, said one of them. By the time the government laid it all out for them, they'd already made up their minds. They knew there wasn't any reason to go any further. Federal officials did not face the same restrictions on what they were allowed to do as the prosecutors did. For example, Navarro's rulings were aimed at specifically trying to avoid the concept of jury nullification, which was the point when we had a law of trial by jury. She severely limited defense arguments. What's funny here is that the Arizona Republic doesn't even get it right. It says, jury nullification occurs when a jury returns its verdict based on its shared belief rather than the evidence. No, folks. Jury nullification is defined as when a jury understands it has the right under the Constitution and common law to judge the facts and the law itself. They can decide the law is unjust, and that is just as good of a not guilty verdict as ruling that the facts don't support the case. Navarro barred defendants from discussing why they'd even bothered to travel thousands of miles to join protesters. She did not allow them to testify about abuses by federal authorities during the cattle rustling that might have motivated them to do what they did. She also restricted defendants from raising constitutional arguments or mounting any defense based on outmoded things like the First Amendment right to free speech or their Second Amendment rights to bear arms. She said they were, quote, not applicable in the case, and that speaks volume. Federal U.S. attorney, acting attorney for Nevada, Stephen Meyer, argued in the court case that he could care less about the First or Second Amendments because, quote, the Constitution doesn't give people the right to threaten federal officers, unquote. Achtung, and how dare you uppity peons think that you have God-given rights to don't do what we say. If we feel like killing you, we'll kill you. and you better learn who's boss. And you think I'm kidding, folks? Exaggerating? I keep coming back. It is amazing. No, it's not amazing. Shouldn't be amazing. The fact that our Creator has laid this out for us, given us this instruction thousands of years ago, said it's just as applicable today, I would argue maybe more, as it ever was. And we see how appropriate, if we look at the, well, facts and the law of what's going on, His instruction is. Let me read those first couple lines. Yeah, you know, the word shoftim is the first word in the portion. Judges, shoftim, and officers you shall make in all your gates. In other words, in all your cities, supposed to have real judges. What a concept. Which Yahuwah gives you. Now, this was in the land, of course. We're no longer in the land. We were kicked out for cause, so maybe part of this makes sense. Anyway, they are to judge the people with righteous judgment. Now, I'm going to go through just quickly here some of the themes that are in this Torah portion that fit. You'll see one of those, right off the top here. Righteous judgment. That word there is mishpat zedek. You know, that zedek has to do with the Torah. Have the righteousness, the very essence of righteousness is understanding the instruction, the statutes and judgments and commandments. If you're going to judge righteously, mishpat zedek, it's important to know what it says. The next verse says you're not to wrest judgment. In other words, what happens in America today where you have disgusting, oath-breaking judges like Navarro there in Las Vegas says the hell with your rights. We got a court case to slam dunk here. And how dare you let all of this crap get in the way of what we intend to do over your dead bodies if necessary. You are not to respect persons. Well, I guess you could argue they don't respect anybody that's not wearing a black robe or a blue badge. Or a gold badge and a blue uniform, nor are you to take a gift, for a gift blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Hey, what does it do to those that weren't righteous to begin with and never cared about wisdom and that chose to be ignorant of the law that they put their hand on a Bible and swore to preserve and protect and defend? Folks, I think there is a time, and if you get the impression that, yeah, I'm a little bit frosted this morning as I look at all of this stuff, you're right, we ought to be. We ought to have long ago said, you know what, I've had it up to here with these blankety-blanking, oath-breaking, bribe-taking judges that are bought and paid for, that took an oath before God and could care less. Matter of fact, they could not only care less, they despise righteous judgment. They undermine the law at every opportunity, and they are whores to another God. Am I being as clear as I can on this? The next word lays it out. And as I've said before, it's about as complete of a contrast to what is happening in post-constitutional, post-biblical, post-law America as you'll find. Zedek, zedek. Justice, justice. You shall follow. That you might live and inherit the land which Yahuwah Eloheka was giving you, is giving you. Well, folks, they blew it then. We're still in exile today. Arguably, there was a time when in this land, people came here to escape the kinds of injustice that they were seeing in places like Europe. And this nation was built on a foundation of law. The concept that all men have these rights, that's basically what it says here. Not to be perverted, not to be twisted, not to show favoritism, not to show, for example, that some people like Hitler are above the law. James Comey will point out that she's guilty of all kinds of high crimes, treason, misdemeanor, gross criminal negligence in terms of national security, but she doesn't deserve prosecution because she is to be king. Can we see the point? Justice, justice, you shall pursue? Hell no. Now, some will point out, and I mentioned it last night, I'll just observe in passing here, this word is repeated. Clearly, there's emphasis intended. But also, you can look at this in a number of ways, one of which is, hey, you know, there's the spirit of law, there's the letter of the law. There's mercy and there's justice. The Creator does a great job of balancing, tempering those things, forgiveness with severity when necessary. We got nothing even remotely approaching any form of justice when you look at it in these ways. Like I said, look back and see the executioner of Vicki Weaver and all those people in Waco, Texas. A manslayer. Did he flee to a city of refuge? Well, according to the scripture, what it says here is those that did so with malice aforethought. I think taking aim at somebody's jugular vein through a scope does not quite constitute, oh, I made a mistake. Yeah, I didn't. Don't give me that. This guy was an expert marksman. He was proud of that shot. I made a mistake. Didn't intend to blow that blankety-blank away. The hell he didn't. Was it an accident? Was it like an axe handle flying off and hitting somebody? Hell no. It was premeditated murder, aimed at showing the peons who was boss and who could kill them with impunity. And that's exactly what happened. And as I mentioned, this guy is out somewhere in the witness protection program sipping margaritas on a beach, for all most Americans know. Call it your tax dollars at work if you allow them to be stolen for that kind of a purpose. All right, I think that gets the point. What I want to do again is go through the rest of some of the things that are laid out here. Zedek, we've talked about. The rest of the Torah portion, briefly, says a number of things. Let me just see how many of these resonate with us today in this context, given what we've already laid out. Justice, justice you shall pursue. Okay, well, what other things are related to that? How about this? Expunge pagans and paganism. They're not welcome. Well, no, they run the swamp. They control Hollywood, Madison Avenue, Wall Street. For crying out loud, folks, they control the Exchen Church, the pagan whore church of another god, the 501c3 tax-exempt corporate institution that pretends to serve God, all the while, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we know what's really going on. That is, if we read Scripture. Expunge paganism? Hell no. How about this one? You're not to select a foreign king. Now, there may come a time when you'll say, give us king like all the other nations. In the United States, at one point at least, you may have heard this phrase from the revolutionary era, no king but King Jesus. Washington could have been king, wisely and amazingly said no. That's not what this war was fought, to put some other king in place. But now, of course, we had a king. We had Barry Sabarco. Interestingly, the scripture says you will not to put a foreign king above you. I just let the irony of that sink in for a second. Now we have Donald Trump, who might want to be king and probably would be better off if his imperial edicts were at least read or followed. But of course, that doesn't matter. You got black robe priests. Shove team that say, you know, he can quote the statutes about illegal immigration all he wants. We want those invaders in here. The hell with his executive orders. And that's exactly what's been done. Story today basically says that the McMasters of the world and the various generals and Goldman Sachs and other controllers, we would call them Praetorian Guards, you know, if we were talking about the Roman Empire in a similar situation, are now controlling all information that the president sees. And perhaps more importantly, anything that comes out of the Oval Office is screened as well. He's been neutered, folks. He's been castrated. No foreign king? Well, wouldn't it be nice? But we had a foreign king. And where we are today is completely, as Scripture warned, ruled by those pagans who we failed to eject, expunge, when we arguably had a chance. There's one other interesting thing about the king that I think, I pointed this out at length last night too. Wouldn't it be cool if we actually had parts of the Torah that still applied? Or the Constitution, for that matter. Wouldn't it be cool if kings, or even presidents, did what the kings of Israel were once mandated to do by the Torah. Write out a copy of HaTorah, this Torah, as a matter of fact, in your own hand. The king was required. Now, the question was, it the whole five books of Moshe, or was it probably more likely just the book of Devarim or Deuteronomy? Hell, just the Ten Commandments would be a great step forward from anything we've had in this country for 100 years. All right, but they were told to write out a copy of this Torah so that they could read it daily, study it, walk it out, and do it. Why? Oh, this is kind of interesting. Let me read this part of the Torah portion. Because it does say, the king is to write this thing out so that he may keep all of the words of this Torah and these statutes and do them. Why? So that his heart not be lifted up above his brethren. You ain't my brethren anyway. You Christians, you don't serve the God Allah. So that his heart is not lifted up above his brethren. So that he does not turn aside from the commandment. No, not to the right nor to the left. To the end that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. We got a whole bunch of folks in Washington that know. I got just two words. Predator drone. Remember that? President signed, the former king, that is, on New Year's Eve, about, coming up on over 7 years ago, New Year's Eve, dark of night, in other words, signed an order, it's called NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, said basically I can kill anybody I want, anywhere I want with a drone, don't need no permission. Stroke of the pen, law of the land, off with his head. The emperor had nothing like this. They could execute people with impunity, kill, manslay, not have to worry about any city of refuge. That's what Washington is for. Think about that, folks. Thou shalt not murder? Not if you're king. It's good to be king. Don't get uppity. I can kill anybody I want. Am I above my brethren? Well, you ain't my brethren, and I prove that. How far have we come from what's written here in the Torah? I'll tell you what, to be honest, I don't think we can truly get much further. Maybe that's what the eclipse was warning us about. There are some other things in the Torah portion too, as I'm going through the summary here. There was some indication about the Levites. They don't have any inheritance in the form of land in the land, so they're supposed to get their portion. Make sure you don't slight them on that score. When it comes to soothsayers, necromancers, sorcerers, and other people, they are not to be allowed to do that. Well, hell, again, what can I say? Look at Washington. Prophets. There's a section about prophets, and it's kind of unique in the Torah in here. This is the only place where Moshe himself describes himself, self-describes as a prophet. And of course, the point is, there will be a prophet that will be raised up like unto Moshe. How will we know him? Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure. He didn't do away with the law. If he had, he'd have been the liar and the truth is not in him. And ironically, the very next section of this same portion made that clear. How do we know if a prophet speaks a word presumptuously in my name? If he comes, allegedly in my name, and speaks that which I have not commanded him to speak? Well, he's supposed to die if he does. Deuteronomy, last week's portion, made that clear. How will we know? Well, there's a couple ways. One of them's listed here. If the thing that he says is supposed to happen, don't happen. But as we know, there were real prophets, and some of the things that they spoke have already happened. Others haven't yet. So what else matters? Answer. If he tells you to go after foreign gods that you've not known, that's what this portion is saying, just like what the last portion said. In other words, if he said the law is done away with, hey, celebrate my birthday on December the 25th and go after Ishtar, the fertility goddess, with bunnies and eggs. No, the real prophet, the real Mashiach, never said anything of the sort. But lying prophets since then have said he should have if he was the fake prophet that they keep trying to make him out to be. When we accept facts that aren't in evidence, when we accept the claim that the law is done away with, that we don't need justice anymore, I guess what you could say, there's an old saying, no justice, no peace. Well, we're seeing that. The next section of the Torah has to do with false witnesses, and I find this one ironic as well. Basically, what it says is, if somebody testifies falsely against their neighbor, there's to be a diligent inquiry, not what we find in the place where there is no justice pursued nowadays, not the fake places. You know that the thin blue line, for example. I've seen it personally, folks. I've been in court cases where I presented evidence that the cop testifying on the stand did not have an oath on file. Statute says he's not a cop. He's acting under a color of law. His testimony is not to be accepted. The judge, and I remember looking at this blankety-blanking judge, looked me in the eye and said, well, I don't see that it makes any difference. You took an oath too, Your Honor. I've got your filed, sworn support for your constitutional oath right here. What difference does that make? Justice you shall pursue. Doesn't matter what level it would seem. The situation is corrupt, rampant, pillar to post. Okay, the false witness, though, was supposed to suffer the consequences that they were trying to visit on their neighbor. You're willing to lie, in other words, and say, oh, I saw him break the law? What was the fine, officer? $300, you pay it. What was the fine? Well, we want to steal his house. Well, then yours is forfeit. The point, in other words, was when there was really a supreme law, and if we followed the Torah, People who do routinely what happens now in courts, so-called, all across the land, would find that it is their property that is stolen, not those of the person that they're trying to convict via their unrighteous witness. How amazing is all this? I keep coming back. Wouldn't it be neat? Wouldn't it be neat if we had people that actually followed God? Wouldn't it be cool if we had judges that could even read the Bill of Rights, that cared about their oath before God, that truly wanted to do justice? Like I said, I'm sure there are a few of them. It's just the vast, overwhelming majority that give them a bad name, and arguably, rightfully so. The story ends with, appropriately enough, what happens if you find some poor son of a gun out in the middle of nowhere, lying in a field, don't know who it was that smote him to death, who shed this arguably innocent blood, gives a process and a procedure for saying, okay, which is the town that's nearest? We'll bring the elders out from the nearest town. And there's a procedure they go through. They take some poor little cow, some heifer of the herd that's never been put under the yoke, take this poor little heifer out into a rough valley and break its neck. That doesn't sound very just. Why, for crying out loud, would the creator of the universe have us take some poor innocent little cow that didn't harm anybody and break its neck out there? Maybe the thing that the elders are supposed to swear to is key. Now remember, nowadays we have elders that they'll swear to anything because they've been taking a bribe and they could care less about the law. I think these people were supposed to understand what they were doing. They washed their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. The term here in the Hebrew is eglah arufa. Eglah arufa. Poor heifer whose neck was broken. The sages say, look, this is an outrage. The intent is to awaken us. You want to know why I'm upset as I go through this stuff? Because, folks, everything we see is an outrage. And if a solar eclipse coast to coast doesn't awaken us, and if the emasculation in full public view of an elected president who was clearly never supposed to win, and as far as the media and the deep state is concerned, if they don't have to kill him, fine, but they can certainly muzzle him, shut him up, and tame him, and ignore what he says in the meanwhile anyway. Yeah, we've got outrages galore. These elders, though, over the outrage of the Eglah Arufa, were supposed to say, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. In other words, the sages say, if you look at the Hebrew, this is Rashi among others, we didn't even indirectly, in other words, not by being blind to the plight of the stranger, not even that indirectly did we have anything to do with the shedding of this innocent blood of this poor stranger. We don't know what happened here. We're really sorry about it. And our hands have not participated in it, not any way, shape, or form. Forgive, O Yahuwah, your people Israel, those that you've redeemed, and do not suffer this innocent blood to remain in the midst of your people, Israel. And so it says the blood shall be forgiven them. Now I ask the question, in a land that doesn't even remotely care about the God of the Bible, doesn't care about murder, is willing to kill millions upon millions continually, is willing to execute a woman holding her baby in the front door of a cabin, and 25 years later, people still don't know what happened. The only thing they know is that the executioner didn't have to flee to a city of refuge. He fled to a beach somewhere with a little drink with a parasol over it after killing a whole bunch more people. The concept, it says, this is the end of the portion. Great way to put it all together. You're supposed to put away from the innocent blood from the midst of you. When you do that which is right in the eyes of Yahuwah. Now, there was a point at which, of course, we're reminded, Book of Judges, Shoftim, ironically, all of Israel, they did what was right in their own eyes. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. Well, at least they were doing what was right in their own eyes. I tell you what, folks, what we have today is a land where justice you shall pursue, is from Anton LaVey and the Satanic Bible. It's not just do what's right in your own eyes. It's take whatever the Bible says, turn it upside down, and mandate that. Drive it down people's throats. He says, don't kill innocent babies. We'll make it an effing sacrifice, a sacrament. Yeah, I said it. I didn't say the word, but I was close. I'll tell you what, this is where we are. They have turned the shedding of innocent blood into a sacrament. I've railed for years about the fact that when it comes to the litmus test to put on those black robes of another god and be a high priest of the Supreme Court, what was the single litmus test that the progressive left, and that includes most so-called Republicans, wanted to see in place? Yeah, how do you feel about killing babies? Now remember, a woman doesn't have a right to keep and bear arms, not to freedom of speech. Her privacy, when it comes to her persons, houses, papers, and effects, doesn't mean squat. We'll tap her phones. We'll x-ray her naked body at an airport. We'll grope her genitals, her breasts. But we'll tell her if you want to kill a baby, that is just fine. And furthermore, if you dare think you can stop us from raping you by having a gun, we'll show you who's boss. We may kill you while you're holding your innocent baby in a doorway. Justice, justice you shall pursue. No. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Not even that. They did what was right in the eyes of Hasatan. They are taking evil and calling it good, replacing bitter for sweet, turning things upside down. If the Constitution says you have this right, the court says, hell no, you don't. Not in this courtroom. Do you know who's boss yet? You slave, you. You peon, you. Your God isn't welcome. He hasn't been welcome in the schools for years. Did you object by taking your kids out of there and saying, not my kids? Of course you didn't. Now, decades later, they don't even know what they're missing. Put away the innocent blood from among you? No, folks. The United States has celebrated, bathed in it, mandated it, glorified it. And said that if you don't like the abominations that we're selling, from gay marriage to homosexual pedophilias trying to run for the office of the highest kingship in the land, we might just kill you. You might be on Hitler's dead list. Don't think that your vote matters. That's been proven, all right? What a mess. What a stinking mess. I know this is fairly negative. And it wasn't necessarily precisely what I was talking about or planning on talking about as I got started. I had intended to say, what if they threw a civil war, a race war, and nobody came? But I think we have to set it up with just the level of evil that's out there today. Because I mentioned that Bundy Ranch verdict, and I see that as a good thing. I'm going to mention one other story that came out. Now, this is also out of order. But it was a second witness. I mentioned it last night, too. The false flag, the fake event, the attempt one more time to see if we can't get a race war going. Let's see if we can't get blacks and whites killing each other. How do we do this? Well, let's see. A bribe will work. What's my point as I get ready to go into this story? Well, the point is that in Nevada, even a federally selected jury of ignoramuses. I'm not bad-mouthing these people. Let's be true, though. Let's be real. They were put on that jury because they agreed to judge the facts only and the law as I give it to you. They were selected, in other words, pre-selected for ignorance. I guarantee you, if any of them had had a copy of the fully informed jury association's little booklet on the Constitution and the history of the system of trial by jury, I carry one in my pocket when I go out and go to courthouses like that. They wouldn't have been selected. We know that. So the good news is some of them woke up. Some of them said, you know what? I think I've had it up to here with the stuff I'm being fed. I think I'm sick and tired of justice, justice you shall pursue being a nasty word. Of the God of the Bible being not only dissed, but hated by those black-robed, clearly priests of another god. I think I'm going to say no, even if I don't quite know how. Well, that's the good news. Here's the other part. Same story, essentially, a little different. In Charlottesville, now this, to my mind, folks, as I mentioned this, I'm going to point out to you, this was a second witness to yours truly. Because over the weekend, I had a discussion with a good friend of mine. I've known the man for years, known his son, and I won't give the names because I haven't yet heard back from him. I've literally asked, hey, can we do a formal interview, and I'll record it. And I haven't gotten that word back yet. But basically, the story goes like this. The son, whom I have great respect for, intelligent, wonderful young man, known him since he was an early teenager, probably one of the sharpest young men homeschooled that I've known when it comes to understanding Scripture and the law and the Constitution. He had a great head for it. Still does. He was in Charlottesville on that particular day, scheduled to speak on behalf of an organization that he's been a high-profile member of, called the League of the South. He knew a lot of the people involved. He was literally, he didn't speak, as it turned out. The speech was canceled. But he was lined up for the speaker's platform. Among a whole bunch of other things that he told me, but this is probably the most interesting of them, he said that not too long before this, a few weeks earlier, he had been at a similar kind of a rally where a bunch of paid Soros provocateurs, Antifa, Black Lives Matter and the like, but this particular fellow was Antifa, dressed up in all the Antifa stuff with the body armor and you name it, out there trying to kick butt and take names. He said he remembered this particular fellow because he had bright red hair and a really distinctive face and this great big kind of ugly mole on his neck that was real distinctive. And he knew that this was an Antifa goon. But here he is in Charlottesville, and who does he see standing 5 feet away from him but the very same Antifa goon? Guess what he's wearing today? Can you say KKK, white supremacist garb? All dressed up for the cameras. Yeah, look at me. I'm a white supremacist. My friend's son walks up to him and says, you know what? If you're going to try to be a false flag guy, something you're not, it would be helpful if you weren't so stinking distinguishable, because I remember your face. Whereupon the fella hauled off and hit him. Okay, this was the first witness. There were a lot of people, and he made other points as well, that were in that Charlottesville rally who had 1 point and 1 point only for being there. They were pretending to be something they weren't. They were pretending to be fascist, racist, white dudes who wanted to start a race war. And as we've already seen, the fellow who in fact was the ringleader of all of this, of the Unite the Right stuff, had a different name entirely, a name that was associated with, and I'm looking in my own notes here for it, Jason something or other. Somebody remind me, put it up on the screen. It's easy to forget the names of these abominoid scumbags. Anyway, the point is, the very same guy who was heading the Unite the Right delegation only a few months earlier was an abominoid of the First Order. He worked for Barry and company. He was a paid provocateur. He'd written about it and so forth. So this thing, folks, was a lie from the get-go. Well, what's the good news in all of this? The good news is the second witness that I saw came out this week, and it's gone viral on the web. A lot of you, I know, from asking last night have seen it. What was funny to me was the biggest, most viral YouTube video was put up by, I liked the guy. His name was Charles Patrick. And he did a pretty darn good interview. Oh, it turns out he happens to be black, which makes it even more poignant, of course. Live interview with Charles Patrick, the eyewitness, who did not appear on camera, claims that it was protesters on both sides. She had lunch in a diner in Charlottesville. These people were sitting together. Huh? The so-called antagonists? Yeah, they were sitting together. But that's not all. They all got up and watched a whole bunch of buses, dark charcoal gray buses, pull up outside. And when the bus stopped, she said it was like a charter bus. Hey, we didn't think much about it at first. University of Virginia is there. Jason Kessler. Thank you. Jason Kessler was the scumbag's name. All right. She says, everybody in the restaurant, I mean, you could hear a pin drop. They're just looking. Within 10 or 15 seconds, people come running off the buses, and they flooded the place. Quote, I don't care what anybody says. Now, I don't care if anybody believes me. But those people came off that bus ready to, I don't know, work? Ready to fight. They had on helmets. They had on knee pads and elbow pads and face guards and mouthpieces and purses and bags and backpacks full of things. Everything. Hold on, says the interviewer. Were these all white people getting off the bus? Oh, no, she says. There were just as many black people as there were white people getting off the same buses. There were just as many women as there were men. So Charles Patrick says, so white people, black people, men, women, all get off the bus? Is that what you're telling me, right? Got off the same bus, she says. I even saw some people carrying, you know, those shields that police use for riots that you see on videos and stuff. They were carrying those off the bus. Really? Says the interviewer. Yeah. Now he says, wait a minute, these black and these white people got off that bus. And these are the ones that had on T-shirts? Oh, yeah, she says. There were T-shirts. There were emblems. Now, I don't claim to recognize all the different groups that are out there. I know the ones of BLM. He says, you mean Black Lives Matter? Yep. And I know the KKK. You've seen those emblems? That's what you're saying? Oh, yeah, she said, not just one or two. Everybody got off those buses, had something that caught my attention. Oh, my God, she said, there's KKK. Oh, my God, that's the BLM. Wait a minute, says the interviewer, Charles Patrick. You're telling me Black Lives Matter and the KKK got off the same damn bus? Yeah, but wait a minute, she says, there's more. I may have left something out. Okay, you get the picture, folks? This goes on and on. And what's cool, what is the good news here, is the lie is being revealed. I'm going to say that again. The lie is being revealed. Now, I quote frequently Isaiah 66. I will choose their delusions because they chose that in which I do not delight. I don't doubt there's a whole lot of that going on. But I also know that the truth is being revealed. And there are people that are being awakened. There are lots of good people. White people, black people, Hispanic people. I don't care what color people. That's not the issue. There are lots of good people. And I pray it this way. Those people who seek to be called by the name of Yah. Even if they don't know what his name is. Even if they think his name's Jesus or who knows. But there are people out there. A lot of them have been deceived. Jeremiah tells us that the nations, the goyim, will come from the ends of the earth saying, we've inherited lies from our fathers. Folks, the lies are being revealed. And this is the salient key prayer I want to make sure we keep in the forefront of our hearts and minds this week. That the lie would continue to be revealed. That his people, whether they know it or not, whether they know his name or not, whether they truly understand his word or not, but, hey, he called. He was working on me. I've had other people on this site this morning say the same thing. He had an impact in my life long before I was willing to admit he even existed. Praise Yah. I know that. Okay, you've heard my joke testimony. It's not a joke, but it's kind of the colloquial way I like to put it. Sometimes Yah just kind of winds up with a great big old two before, smacks you clean across the face, right across your teeth, and says, are you listening? I've been there. So my prayer is that those that are even remotely inclined to listen, those that he is going to wind up and whack to get their attention, that they would turn to him, that they would hear, that the lie, in fact, is and will be revealed. I look back at the eclipse and say, okay, can we prove? Do we know for sure that was a sign from God? I'll tell you what, if it wasn't, he missed a really good opportunity. Do I really think that he would have missed an opportunity like that? I don't buy that. I don't think anybody here does either. So I continue to say, what if they threw a civil or a race war and nobody came? What if the people who were really paying attention said, you know what? I can see what was happening in Charlottesville. The Nazis and the KKK, both paid by the same Soros groups, and they both got off the same damn bus. Who could have thought it? Do you think there's a message there? The so-called jurors, selected even for their ignorance, still managed to say, for crying out loud, this judge has it in for these people. She's trying to slam dunk a prosecution here. She's telling them they don't got no rights. Telling them the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, none of that applies to them. We're not even allowed to hear their testimony, for crying out loud. And I'm supposed to believe the crap I'm being fed by these feds that even isn't self-consistent? They can't even get their own stories straight. I think maybe I'm going to say I smell a rat. Folks, I pray that all across this land, people who are sick and tired of being duped and seeing that justice is not only not pursued, it's not allowed, will wake up and smell the coffee and say, I've had it. I quoted the line from Network, Howard Beale, this week. If you haven't seen the movie, it's worth pulling out. The famous scene from the movie has this, mad prophet of the airwaves, they deemed him, Howard Beale. He's been fired from the network in his last show. He's literally standing in a raincoat. He's drenched, and he gets up, and he says, I want you to go to your windows. I want you to open your windows. I want you to stick your head out, and I want you to yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And people did. And you know what, folks? That's only half of the very tiny part of the first step. Being mad as hell doesn't mean squat if you don't do what is supposed to happen next. Teshuva, turn, come out, return to Him. In other words, realize why we're in this mell of a hess. Because we have failed to do all of the simple things that this Torah portion says over and over again we ought to have done. Judges, no, not the fake black-robed priests of another gods, supposed to be in all of our cities. Yeah, we're not in the land. We were kicked out for cause. All right, great. Do we want to ever get back? Do we want to begin the process? Well, maybe it would be a good thing to do by starting with real judges as opposed to those that deliberately pervert the law, take a bribe. They never had the eyes of the wise. They were selected because they were not only ignorant but proud of it. Perverting the words of the righteous. Well, the words of the righteous haven't been allowed in those courts, as we know. The Constitution is not welcome in this court. Bill of Rights, we just saw it again, not welcome in my court. Where I want to go next is I want to talk about some of the things that are happening right now that, if it's not already clear, continue to help make this same point. As you know, Hurricane Harvey slammed into Texas overnight, 130-mile-an-hour winds, head as either a Category 3 or 4 storm, depending upon where on the beach you're talking. Building collapse, says a story from the Daily Mail out of the UK. Dozens were hurt. 155,000 people were without power. It was the most powerful hurricane to hit the U.S. mainland in a decade. Will cause tens of billions of dollars worth of damage, and the rain isn't over yet. Okay, so that's the story. What caught my eye? Why did I mention this particular story? Because hurricanes have happened before. They'll probably happen again. Here's the line that really amazed me, irritated me, if you will. Says a hurricane hit the town of Rockport shortly after 10 p.m. local time. Waves flooded onto roads, roofs were sent flying into the air, and residents in the storm's path were told, Achtung, you will do this, you pee on you, to label themselves in case they died. Label themselves in case they died. Now, my first thought was, wait a minute. Talk about a self-fulfilling death wish prophecy. Oh, yeah, I'd like to die, so I'm going to make sure I put my label right here on my arm. Make it easier for my property owners to identify my dead corpse. Isn't that special? Now, if you read down through the article, it turns out that that's not all. They were told that they were supposed to put their social security number on their arms in case they died. How ironic is that? Ah, Chip would be better, don't you think? They didn't even miss an opportunity to warn the peons that you need to have your property record number there so we can sweep up the bodies. It's not bad enough that the point of calling 911 and dying, right, is so that they'll know where to draw the chalk line around your disarmed dead form. Now you're prophesying your own death, putting your property record number on your body in case you didn't get your chip before you cashed it in. Good grief. All right, here is another one. These are not in any particular order. Well, they kind of are. But how about this one? I mentioned this one already. Sebastian Gorkin, special assistant to the president, resigned last night after 8 months in the role as one of the chief advisors to President Donald Trump. After nearly 8 months, Gorka cited his reason for leaving mainly as, quote, the result of forces who are turning the president away from his campaign promise of making America great again. Here's the line from the letter as it's quoted. Given recent events, said Gorka, it's clear to me that forces that do not support the MAGA promise are, for now at least, ascendant within the White House. As a result, the best and most effective way I can support you, Mr. President, is from outside the People's House. Now, he went on to say that he expressed disappointment at the direction of the Trump administration. In other words, he too has noticed the president has been cut off, deep-stated, crocodile-infested, and castrated. And he lamented specifically the renewed change to official policy in Afghanistan. He campaigned against it. Now he's caved to McMaster's and company and said he supports it. Here's what he wrote. Quote, regrettably, outside of yourself, the individuals who most embodied and represented the policies that will make America great again have been internally countered. systematically removed or undermined in recent months. That was made patently obvious as I read the text of your speech on Afghanistan this week, he wrote. The fact that those who drafted and approved that speech removed any and every mention of the words... Now, does this sound like something the Obama regime did? Remember, you were not allowed to say the words radical Islam or Islamic terrorism. They removed, they expunged the speech from what he says proved that a crucial element of your presidential campaign has been lost. However, the speech listed operational objectives without even bothering to define the strategic victory conditions we're supposedly fighting for. And this omission, he wrote, should seriously disturb any national security professional and any American who's unsatisfied with the last 16 years of disastrous policy decisions that have led to thousands of Americans killed and trillions of taxpayer dollars spent in ways that have not brought security or victory, said Gorka. Well, what they have brought, folks, is lots of nicely subsidized heroin to fatten the coffers of the deep state minions who know that they got little boys, young men, dying over there. Not anything to do with the Constitution or truth, justice, and the American way, but to get the white powder home to undermine what's left of the rule of law. I'll say it again. Are you mad yet? Are you mad as hell and saying, I'm not going to take it anymore? Justice, justice you shall pursue. No, no, we got boys dying for white powder so that the deep state can continue to grease the coffers of the real money-making machines. If they can't print it, they can grow it and stuff it up people's arms via needles. Said a source close to the White House to the Federalist, quote, all of this was more or less a done deal when Steve Bannon submitted his resignation, not because Gorka didn't have a protector, but because there's no point in having your life ruined every day if you know you're not going to get much accomplished. Well, I guess that makes perfect sense. I've already mentioned Steve Pachanik unloading on Trump over the disastrous Afghan decision about the very same thing. He wrote, we're going to have a bloodbath that we've never seen before. This is not about terrorism. That is, and he got a nice little potty mouth word in here. BS is the abbreviation you'll know. He said, this is not about 9/11 either. That is also BS. And like I said, then he got really angry. From one end to the other, folks, what we're seeing here is an undermining of the republic that was once, at least constitutionally, supposed to be the form of government that we had here. Here's an interesting one that I think perhaps explains another little tidbit from this Gorka piece. Now, there's one thing I left out that I'll mention here as I go into this next story. The White House did not allow, they did not admit that Gorka had quit. Instead, they noted he was no longer working for the administration. A press statement released by the Trump administration said Sebastian Gorka did not resign, but we can confirm he no longer works at the White House, unquote. Now, Steve Bannon has said, and this is interesting, I guess you'd say if any of this is true, it's a plus. Bannon says he could do a better job working for the president outside the White House. Evidently, so does Gorka, and so have others. Sounds like the White House has been pretty well undermined. Sounds like it's not a safe place to be. Who knows? Is the president being blackmailed? Is his family being blackmailed? Is he just being cut off? Is the Praetorian Guard in the United States doing what it used to do in the ancient Roman Empire? In other words, basically just telling the emperor, if you want to live, you're a figurehead. Here's another story that might shed some light on that. This comes from... I didn't copy the website off. Basically, it's one of these, it's like Wired or some of these hacker sites. This is a tech-oriented site that focuses on inside baseball kind of security and similar stuff. Woman's name is Mariella Moon, and she wrote the following. CIA is using a secret tool to spy. No, not just on Americans. Everybody knows that's going on. On NSA, FBI, and other so-called intelligence agency partners. Spy versus spy. This is inside baseball. It's funny and kind of disgusting, more than a little. Apparently, she says nobody's exempt from the CIA's intelligence gathering, not even its own intelligence partners. According to a set of documents published by WikiLeaks, the CIA now uses a tool called ExpressLane. How clever. Aren't these people clever? I can just imagine them doing the same wink, wink, nudge, nudge that an occasional sniper does when it executes somebody with a particularly impressive shot to the neck. The CIA tool, Express Lane, hides behind a fake software update. This ought to put some new light in the Windows updates. Windows is shutting down your work. We could care less what you're doing. We have taken control of our computer, ha ha ha, so we can install the latest NSA information gathering and monitoring tools on what you thought was your machine. We didn't call it Windows for nothing, you know. All right. They hide behind a fake software update to collect information from agencies around the world that use their unconstitutional biometric data collection system. In the U.S., the list includes fellow government agencies like FBI, NSA, and Achtung Homeland Security. These partners are supposed to share data with the CIA, but clearly the CIA wants to make sure they're not trying to hide anything from their prying eyes. Basically, info written in the documents, the CIA pre-installed Express Lane in the systems of newer partners. Okay? They put this tool on systems that they deliver to their partners. For older ones, it gets installed by an agent personally who visits the partner site under the guise of installing a software update. Yeah, you need this new software update, and you will get it or else. Express Lane disguises itself as a harmless .exe file in the Windows System 32 folder, but it actually collects all the files that it's interested in. And when an agent inserts a thumb drive to run the fake software update, Express Lane automatically uploads the compressed and encrypted data files it has already gathered. Furthermore, the thumb drive, now this is clever, isn't it? Listen to this. The thumb drive will also install a kill date that disrupts the system on the pre-scheduled date, forcing the partner to call, guess who? Your CIA partners back in for service. This guarantees that agents can collect data even if a partner refuses the shady software update. We have you either way! It's unclear whether the CIA plans to use or what they intend to do with all that biometric data. What do you mean it's unclear? We've known for years what they intend to do with it, folks, so that no one might buy or sell unless they participate in the fake God's plans. But either way, the more info it gathers, it says, the more powerful it becomes. It's not really surprising that the agency wants to make sure no one can keep secrets from it. What do I suggest? That certainly goes for the White House, too, doesn't it? Do you understand now why it is that the Trump regime has been undermined and what the deep state has got in plan? Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks guy, been holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy. There were some people from the Senate said basically, hey, he had some good information. He was the one that blew the whistle on Comey and Hitlery and Podesta and all those other scumbag, alligator, crocodile, swamp critters. Well, rather than giving him immunity and saying, welcome home, Julian, good job. An angry Assange earlier this week slammed efforts to classify his whistleblowing organization as a, quote, non-state hostile intelligence service. The evil Mike Pompeo, head of the CIA, has basically gotten the Senate to kowtow to him. In its annual intelligence authorization, the Senate Intelligence SIC Committee has effectively decided to declare WikiLeaks as a terrorist media organization. Okay. Basically, Assange had some choice comments here, but essentially it boils down to the directors of the CIA's claim that, quote, Assange has no First Amendment freedoms, unquote. Well, wait a minute. Neither do you. Isn't that what the judge in Nevada said? Good news again. Some people are saying, the hell we don't. Wait a minute. You don't want us to, but you don't have the authority constitutionally or as a result of the God of the Bible to take that away from us. That is, at least if we know what our rights are and we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. Here's another one. This didn't get any coverage at all. A couple of the alt-right alternative media outlets are pointing out that remember the big stink about the meeting of Donald Trump Jr. with the Russian Agent Plant, you know, the one that was an Obamanoid too? Well, turns out there was no smoking gun there. This week, the Veterans Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. This included William Benny, one of the high-ranking NSA. He was a high-ranking NSA intelligence officer that blew the whistle on the corruption of the NSA even before Ed Snowden did. And now he and another group of disgruntled intelligence professionals have come out. They've looked at the information from the Guccifer 2.0 leak that came out via WikiLeaks and for which maybe Seth Rich died. And they pointed out that, look, any way you slice it, this was a ruse. The bombshell document essentially cleared Trump on the whole Russiagate made-up scam. The narrative was a lie from the get-go. No wonder, says the Conservative Tribune, why the media is deciding to push the fake false flag out of Seville instead. Turns out that the VIPS people also point out, look, those Russian fingerprints, yeah, these documents have been released already. They were put on the thumb drive to make it look like the Ruskies did it, and we already know and have shown that too was bogus. What they said is, this kind of goes with what we just did. The only way this information could have gotten off of that network, because the timestamps show that it happened at incredible speed, a general web connection, even a dedicated web connection, had the Ruskies been able to pull that off, would not have been able to accomplish the upload in the time that it took. What's the only way they could have done it? Answer, same way the CIA just admitted, well, at least somebody ratted them out, USB thumb drive. Somebody put the drive in a DNC computer inside the firewall of the network and got it directly. Who could have thought it? Well, more importantly, why are you not hearing about it, as if we didn't know? Here's perhaps a reason. Apple has joined Google and Facebook and all the other public-private partners of Big Brother's Minions of Satan to embrace the Soros-funded Southern Poverty Law Center, one of the most satanically evil organizations in the United States. I call them the satanic, progressive, leftist communists. They claim it's about censoring hate speech. Basically, it's about censoring anything that isn't satanic, progressive, and sufficiently leftist. And this is exactly how they intend to get away with it. According to the SPLC, now this is an article that was written by it turns out there were a number of these people, including Floyd Lee Corkins. No, he was the bad guy that killed somebody after he read SPLC's stuff. Okay. Oh, I know. Alexander Coburn, director, editor of the left-leaning Counterpunch organization. In 2009, actually wrote about the satanic progressive leftist communists and Morris Dees. He called them the king of the hate business, as well as the arch salesmen of true hate mongering. Said they've been peddling hate for dollars ever since their founding in 1971. They're the FBI go-to undermining organization. These are nasty, evil folks. And the point, of course, here is yet another way of trying to undermine everything that would have been called justice, and your ability to know about it. As we wrap up this part of the exposition here of where we are, I think this is a great story, kind of connects a couple of dots. Earlier in the week, I saw a piece, several pieces. One of them was written by Michael Krieger about the castration of Donald Trump. He wrote that the imperial collapse clock ticks closer to midnight. Trump has been totally brought to heel. What has happened is that the administration, far from, draining the swamp, has been flooded by the swamp, and it's become your standard Wall Street and military-industrial complex-run presidency. And, the latest Afghan announcement was just one more indicator of that. I like this piece. So some of you know I really admire Bill Bonner of Bonner and Partners. He wrote a piece that just came out overnight, and I'll read a couple of the lines, because Bonner is particularly clever, too, and he puts this stuff in a kind of an understated way. I tend to come at it front and center. Bonner comes around the back door cleverly. Earlier this week, he wrote, Donald Trump, president of all of the Americans, said his country would spend more blood and money trying to force the Afghans to do what it wants them to do, whatever that is. And so, a darkness covered the land. From Sioux City to Savannah, a shadow passed between earth and sun. Strange and fearful events were reported, he wrote. A calf was born with two heads outside of Des Moines. Pomegranate trees flowered in Manhattan. An LGBTQQ++ person wondered WTF. The people, in short, were sore afraid. Nowhere, though, was the darkness deeper than in the nation's capital. There, no light shone. No flicker of awareness, observation, learning, or reflection appeared. Donald J. Trump had promised to light a candle, but it was nowhere to be seen. 5 years ago, he admitted Ron Paul is right. The Afghan adventure is, quote, wasting our money. It was, he said, a total disaster. He asked, correctly, what are we doing here? These people hate us. Then a year later, he said, we should leave Afghanistan immediately. In his bid for the White House, he'd offered something better. America first, he called it. MAGA. Instead of trying fruitlessly to build a better country in the Hindu Kush, hey, let's try building a better country at home. No more losing wars. No more strangling regulations. No more losing deals with the rest of the world. Even from the mouth of Donald Trump, wrote Bonner, these promises sounded good. Good enough to win the nation's highest office. Now he pointed out that they've written about some of this before. A lot of folks got very upset with them. Well, we're backing up today. We're going to ask, what was the fuss all about? In the first place, he said, we believe that democracy, as practiced in the big degenerate empire, is largely a sham. Voting is a waste of time. We said so then. In the second place, we thought that the deep state, the few insiders who really run the government, had either already made peace with Mr. Trump or soon would after the election. Now, here I pause and say, okay, no, what they did is they castrated him, right? They didn't make peace with him. They subjugated him. That's been clear. In the third place, though, said Bonner, we identified a chief cause of America's economic malaise, well as many of its other problems, the fake fiat money system, which encourages the buildup of debt and enriches Wall Street while reducing the real output and wealth of Main Street. In the fourth place, this fake money system is the source of funding for the deep state. Well, that and poppies from Afghanistan and other things. Anyway, the fiat money system is a fake source of funding for the deep state. The deep state will not give it up, no matter who is president. As long as this system remains in place, says Bonner, and he's right, the deep state will continue to grow by legislation, regulation, by hook or by crook. And in the fifth place, you can't really build a decent economy on phony money, debt, and forcing win-lose deals on the public anyway. Each day that passes adds more debt, more complexity, more misallocation of resources. Sooner or later, the whole stinking shebang is gonna blow up. Now, here's where I think he really nails this. Just 2 hours after the results came in last November, our view looked basically right. New president gathered in the most two important branches of the deep state. The gunmen, representing the military security complex, and the gold men, representing, of course, Goldman Sachs, the vampire squid, Wall Street. Obviously, he said, a deal had been struck, or at least tacitly acknowledged. Wall Street and the Pentagon, as Trump called them, my generals, were already part of the team. And with them in place, Trump could be Trump, with no fear of actually disrupting the deep state's privileges or position. No, readers protested, he's going to shake things up. He's our only hope. Give him time. Well, says Bonner, time and money are running out. Trump has abandoned the promise of America first foreign policy. The U.S. has already lost 2,000, almost 400 soldiers in Afghanistan, spent over $1 trillion. And now even more resources will be brought to bear so that the longest, most pointless war in U.S. history can continue. Trump himself may actually be in favor of change, but foreign policy under the Trump regime is basically what it's been under Barack Obama. And before that, pick a Bush, any Bush. It has, in fact, favored and continues to favor the deep state military security business, just as it has for at least the last 17 years. Look at the changes. Nothing done to Obamacare or any other significant domestic program either. The deep state's zombie support, medical, educational, retirement, transfer programs remain in place too. And while the media focuses on Confederate monuments and Russia, which is a bogus sham, and North Korea and transsexuals, the whirlwind crises tick, tick, ticks. Feds have enough cash for about 6 more weeks of operations. And this is the key point, folks. 6 weeks, what is the, that puts us right about into the time for the October crash, doesn't it? What an amazing coincidence. The deep state must raise the debt ceiling. You know darn well they'll do it over people's dead bodies in order to keep the fake money flowing. But raising it might not be quite so easy. So-called, both of them, conservative Republicans want to know, hey, with national debt already at $30 trillion, just where do we think we're going? The liberals say, we'll agree to raise the debt ceiling, but only if you leave Obamacare alone. Well, they've already done that. Hey, what about the bridge in my district is the question. And so, writes Bonner, the darkness spreads. He's right. He's a bit tongue-in-cheek. As you know, folks, I have been considerably more blunt. Because while all these economic factors are a part of the problem, the real issue remains. Anywhere you slice it, every way you slice it, if the Torah says don't do something, the United States not only does it, institutionalizes it, mandates it, it does it in a literal empire-building, world-shattering way. Not just fiat money, in other words, the biggest fiat debt bubble in all of human history, bar none. Not just the military-industrial complex, but the most corrupt, most invasive, most, did I say corrupt already? How about undermined? Ironically, the only thing I left out of this Torah portion this week was the fact that there's this long list of folks that basically say, hey, look, did you take a new wife, plant a new garden, build a new home, plant a new vineyard especially? Do you do any of those things? Well, you don't need to fight this battle, was the comment from Torah. Furthermore, are you a coward? Are you an LGBTQ kind of person who spends 238 days getting your recuperation done, unable to go into battle anyway? Well, they didn't put it that way, but I will. In other words, folks, are you part of the army that's supposed to defend the nation, or are you out there basically just defending the poppy fields and bringing home the filthy lucre and the drugs? The Torah seems to think there's a time to get rid of those folks, especially the ones that might infect others with their cowardice. I look at the situation in the world today and say on every level, right? Not just that one, not just the fake money, not just the undermining of justice and the Constitution and just about everything you can think of, but literally even a bunch of things we haven't had time to mention. If the Bible says don't do it, the deep state alligator-infested swamp in Washington says, not only will you do it, we'll kill you if you don't. And they're hand-in-hand with the Romanized, paganized Catholic Church and the whore in the fish hat. Yeah, the arguably scummiest guy ever to claim to be the vicar of Christ. The commie pope. Can you see any difference in these situations? Is it not clear? All right, I think I've asked that question enough. I hope the point is made. Let me close the ribbons here with one quick announcement. Now, this too was just in the last 24 hours. Yesterday, Friday, saw the same old manipulation. After 12 consecutive days, writes Craig Hemke, who generally writes under the pseudonym Turd Ferguson, 12 consecutive days where silver was held precisely below its 200-day moving average, which is a big technical indicator. Options are due to go off the board on Monday. The September silver contracts and similar go off the board at the end of next week. What happened on Friday? Well, guess what? Just before Janet Yellen was supposed to speak and might have said something untoward, gold was smashed for about $13. 21,000 contracts that don't really have any potential to ever be delivered, hey, who cares, were sold in less than 1 minute Friday morning. The pre-hammering, the bop, was in place. Keep it below 1,300. It was up to close to 1,297, so they hammered it back down. Silver was slammed even more, 40 cents in seconds. Can you spot the pattern? Can you smell the same old rat? How many times have we seen this? Anybody going to go to jail for this manipulation of a no longer even remotely realistic market? Of course not. Justice, justice you shall pursue. Not in this land. Not in any land ruled by the fiat almighty God of the U.S. dollar. Goldman Sachs guy and Trump alligator, Steve Mnuchin, so-called Treasury Secretary, right? Or is he... Anyway, the point is, we know where he came from. We know where his allegiance lies. He visited Fort Knox. Can you believe this? This last week. First time in 40 years anybody visited Fort Knox. What did he say? Did he say there was gold in there? No, not exactly. Did he say that he'd audited the gold and knows who owns it? Oh, for crying out loud, of course not. Did he say the cupboard was bare and Mother Hubbard doesn't know what happened to it? Nope. Here's what he said. Listen to this and think about it. Quote, gold is safe. Gold is safe. What, is it safe in his vault? Safe that the people he knows that are pulling his strings know where it is? He didn't say it was there. He didn't say that it's owned by the American people. No, he didn't say anything of the sort. He said it's safe. Well, it's safe for somebody. Guess who's running him, I guess. Isn't this funny? They're literally rubbing people's noses in it. And the American people are, not as ignorant, I don't think, as we might have been led to believe. And that's the point here. That's the prayer. And that's how I want to end up. We'll pray this again in a few minutes, but I continue to pray that the lie would be revealed. Okay. And that, literally the truth will come out. And furthermore, folks, I'm gonna pray this. I'm gonna ask people to pray this with me. And I'm not alone. I've heard a number of other people say this week. That his judgment would be done. It is time that America be judged. Now, does that mean destroyed? I pray not. Because I believe there are a lot of good people here who know that they need to come out. But is it time for judgment? You bet. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. Hell no. Remember that part about the blood of the innocent in the land and the Eglah Arufah, so that all Israel shall hear and fear? Hardly. It's about time for all of that. So let's see. It sounds like we had a question. Okay, got a question. Not QQQs. Okay. Afghanistan has lithium. Lithium's obsolete. New zinc air batteries are better. Okay. Question basically, let me just see if I can summarize it. Because, as a matter of fact, Steve Pachenik, I think, was one of several who made the same comment. I saw, former Reagan-era budget advisor David Stockman wrote a really scathing piece about Afghanistan. Okay, but a number of people are saying, hey, what's Afghanistan got besides poppies? Maybe there are some rare earth minerals that Big Brother wants there too. So I have not done the research on that. I'm not sure. But lithium is not necessarily obsolete, and there may be some other things. A lot of times there are other rare earths that are associated with it in the periodic charts. Okay, is that the only question that we know of? Sorry, I don't have more information on that score. And thanks for the repeat there on it. Okay, where I want to go next is the Haftorah portion. And I think this begins to tie some things together, I would suspect, just absolutely beautifully, the way Scripture has a, I won't say incredible or amazing, because it shouldn't surprise us anymore. Let's just say the divine hand is again evident. Now, the Torah portion is said to start, the Haftorah portion, pardon me, for this week, said to start in Isaiah 51. And some of the references say verse 12, but as I'm reading this, I'm going, I'm not going to start in verse 12. I'm going to start in verse 7, a couple of verses early. This is the prophet. These are the words in red. It says, listen to me, you who know righteousness. There's that word again. You people in whose heart is Torah T, my Torah. Do not fear the reproach of men. You see why I started here? Nor be afraid of their insults. Because the moth will eat them up like a garment. Folks, as I read this, join me in prayer. May it be so, Abba. Bring these things to pass. Let your truth be revealed as truth. Let the lies be revealed as lies. Open the eyes of your people. Draw them to you. And bring your hand down upon those who seek to kill and destroy and do evil in the name of every other god. By whatever name. Let them be ashamed. Let them be revealed. Let them suffer what your Torah says for the false witness that they bear against your people. Let them suffer what they sought to do to your people, Abba. Do not fear the approach of men, reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. The moth will eat them up like a garment. The worm will eat them up like wood. But my righteousness, says Yod Heh Vav Heh, will be forever, Ha'olam, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of Yahuwah. Awake as in the ancient days, generations of old. he goes on to ask some rhetorical questions. Are you not the one that wounded the serpent? Are you, this is capitalized, so maybe he's referring to himself, are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, made the depths of the sea like a road for the redeemed crossover? So shall the ransomed of Yahuwah return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid? Now that's where it starts officially. And I liked the lead up there, but I'm going to read that line again because I think it is important, especially now, especially when we look out. When we look at in a week that saw the eclipse and it saw the neutering of those who thought that their hope was in this man. Now, I got no problem with the fact that, and may Trump be protected, because I do think that he intends to do good. I think his heart is in the right place. I don't know what his situation is. It's beyond my pay grade. It's not my job to know. Okay? But if he is trying to do the work of Yah, then may he be protected in that. And may he continue to do it. But folks, he is not the Savior. The second coming doesn't come from Washington on a white horse. If people put their hope in men, in the arm of flesh, we already know what Scripture says about that. Our hope is in him, always was. And I hope that, in fact, he will protect those and guide those who are trying to do his will. And may President Trump and those who are truly doing your will, his will, may he be among them. But that's not the key here. This is, who are you, he asks, that you should be afraid of a man who'll die, and of the son of a man who'll be made like grass? And you forget Yahuwah your maker, who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth. You feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, when he has prepared to destroy. Well, where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, not die in the pit, that his bread should not fail. But ani Yahuwah Eloheka, I am, who divided the sea, whose waves roared. Yahuwah Zevuot is his name. Now, I got to admit, I read these pitiful translation excuses, these neutered Bibles. His name is not the Lord of hosts, damn it. His name is Yahuwah Zevuot, and they've taken it out hundreds, no, thousands of times. And then we wondered why there's no power in his name. Well, we don't know his name because we don't know his character. We have ignored his Torah. We have allowed these evil sons of Belial, yes, who walk in men's shoes, to pervert, to twist, to undermine, to bribe, to kill and destroy, to spread the blood of innocent over the land and profit in the process with their fake money. May they be damned. May they get what they seek and deserve. I'm not praying for their destruction, folks. I'm praying that his will would be done, that his truth would be revealed, and that exactly what he says in his word would be done, period. I don't know what or who that means necessarily, but I know there'll be a reckoning, that the wheat will be separated from the tares. And I pray that all of us who seek to be called by his name will be on the right side of that. And I know time draws short. And I think it's time we begin to continue to pray, to begin and continue to pray that the lie be revealed, that his justice, I remember what Thomas Jefferson said, that there is a God, that his justice will not sleep forever. I pray for my country, wrote Jefferson. That's what I'm asking us to do today. I have put my words in your mouth, the prophet continues. I've covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. May we hear those words. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem. You have drunk at the hand of Yahuwah the cup of his fury. You've drunk the dregs of the cup of trembling, kosos. I've frequently talked about the cup that is put in the hand of the wife suspected of adultery. the cup that Yahuwah in the famous meeting prayer there at Gethsemane, Son of Yah, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Well, it wasn't. And he said, yeah, let thy will, not my will, be done. Drank from the cup of the whoring wife. That's what we're talking about right here. The cup of his fury. You've drunk the dregs of that cup of trembling and drained it out. There's no one to guide her among all the sons she's brought forth, nor is there any who takes her by the hand among all the sons she's brought up. These two things have come to you. Who will be sorry for you? Desolation and destruction, famine and sword. By whom will I comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets like an antelope in a net. They're full of the fury of Yahuwah, the rebuke of your El. Therefore, please hear this, you afflicted, and drunk, but not with wine. Thus says your Adon. Thus says Yahuwah and your Elohim, who pleads the cause of his people. See? I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling, the dregs of the cup of my fury. You shall no longer drink it. But I'll put it into the hand of those who afflict you, who have said to you, lie down that we may walk over you. And you've laid your body like the ground and as the street for those who walk over. Do those words not leap off the page and say, for crying out loud, in this day, in your hearing, these things are being fulfilled. Awake, awake, it continues. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust, arise. Sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says Yahuwah, you have sold yourselves for nothing. Is there a better description of a whore system based on false weights and measures than that? You have sold yourself for nothing, for monopoly money, and you shall be redeemed without silver. Kesef is the Hebrew word there. For thus says Yahuwah Eloheka, my people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now, therefore, what I have here, says Yahuwah, that my people are taken away for nothing. Those who rule over them make them wail, says Yahuwah. And my name is blasphemed continually. For crying out loud, folks, it's not even in his book. Therefore, now listen to this and ask yourself the question. Are we seeing this start to play out? May it be so. Abba, may these things come to pass. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know it in that day. They will know that it is he who speaks. Behold, it is I, Ani. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your El reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they'll sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahuwah brings back Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For Yahuwah has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Yahuwah has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all of the ends of the earth shall see Yahshua of our El, the salvation of our El. Now here's a verse you may have heard. It's one I quote all the time. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch not the unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of Yahuwah. Could it be he's talking about our bodies? That Big Brother would prefer to see labeled with social security numbers so that when we prophesy our own deaths, he can come and sweep up the remains and take the goods, the spoil for himself. Another one bites the dust. Let me read that again. Come out of her. Depart from there. Touch not the unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean. You who, I'm going to change it just a teeny bit. I'm going to suggest that this is what we need to understand. You who are the vessels, the living vessels of Yahuwah. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For Yahuwah will go before you, and the Elohim of Israel will be your rear guard. That, folks, is where I'm going to pause. Where we'll end today. We are seeing all of these things play out. Is it a done deal yet? Well, honestly, I think it's going to continue in a lot of respects. But I think it's time for those of us who seek to know Him, who seek to be called by His name. You notice I keep phrasing it that way. All right? I'm not going to make the claim that we are called by His name. I'm going to just say at this point what's enough. And what I pray for all of those is that those who seek to be called by His name, who at least know that they don't know what they ought to know and they need to be moving in that direction, would find His comfort, would find His direction, would find their paths to Him. Seek and ye shall find. May we seek. May we recognize that being mad as hell and deciding not to take it anymore is not even remotely enough. It's just a tiny step along the way. Yes, we've inherited lies from our fathers, and it's time to do something about it. Depart from there. Touch not the unclean thing. Seek. Let's close in prayer. Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Echad, Abba, we pray that we would be called by Your name, that we would know Your name, that You would guide us, that we would know Your character, that we would seek You. Guide us, direct our paths, protect us, be our rear guard, we pray. Help us, Father, that all of us who seek You would find, and that we would be able to truly enter into Your rest. We know there's a whole lot of things that lie ahead. Help us to be where we need to be, doing what we need to be doing, that we might be good and faithful servants to You in this process. Abba, we come before You. We lift up so many people in this land and indeed all around the world who know that something is horribly wrong, who sense, in many cases, without even knowing, that we have inherited lies from our fathers. And we see that the lie is beginning to be revealed. We thank You, we praise Your set-apart name, and we pray that this process will continue and accelerate. And that those who seek to be called by Your name would know Your truth. And that those who seek to destroy and to kill and to commit manslaughter in the name of other gods, well, that another would take their office. That the things that they sought to do to Your people would, in fact, as Your Torah says, be visited upon them. That they would be found out, that there would be diligent inquiry, and all of those who do the will of the adversary would have their plans thwarted, shattered, brought down, and that they would be revealed and shamed, and that those who are Yours would know and turn and speak and shout and sing, as Your word says, joyfully, as we look forward to the Exodus to come, the greater Exodus still prophesied. Abba, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this chance together. We pray that You'd continue to be with us, that You would bless those of our loved ones who are walking in rebellion. We know it's not Your will that they would perish. We certainly don't want them to. And we know there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Father, let Your hand be heavy upon them. Give them every opportunity. Give all of those, Abba, in this land and in this world, wherever they may be, every opportunity to hear, to make teshuva, to return to You, to be drawn to You. We know there's a harvest coming, Abba, and we certainly could use more help, more hands. Bring those to us in whatever way that You would have join us. Help us all to be ready. Most importantly, we pray, help us to be good and faithful servants through what lies ahead. Take the cup from our hands. Clean us up, we pray. Help us to be ready for all of the things that we soon celebrate, too. This time of atonement that we are now passing through, praying through, and awaiting Your day of atonement. After which, Abba, we pray that you'd bring us into the season of joy, of remembrance, of Sukkot, of celebration, of preparation for a wedding to come. We thank you and praise you. All of this we ask in your set-apart name. For you are Yahuwah Zevuot, Yahuwah Zediknu, Yahuwah Nisi, our healer, Yahuwah Rapha. You are our King, our Redeemer, our salvation, our Torah made flesh. We praise your set-apart holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. I see the comment from PFT on screen about Congress quietly passed a bill allowing warrantless searches, and I'm scratching my head going, what else is new? which time? I must have missed that one. Maybe I lost it in all the noise of all the other warrantless searches. And, a Congress that basically could care less when it says Congress shall make no law anyway. They think they still have that power. As long as, of course, they don't have to worry about a president that might say otherwise. Anyway. All right. Call it just one more log on the fire. Let us close as we do then with the Aharonic blessing. We remember that Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak in turn to Aharon and his sons and say to them, this is how you are to bless the B'nai Israel. Say to them, Ivarekka Yahuwah varishmareka, Yair Yahuwah panavaleka vichaneka, Isa Yahuwah penavaleka, V'yasim lecha shalom." May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah make his face to shine upon you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Amen.